Blog Talk Radio.
Great Friday. It's your sister Kimberly back with you once more on Your Health is Your Wealth. And today is a beautifully marvelous Friday. I am full of enthusiasm and excitement. We have an amazing special guest on the line today. We will be joined by the awesome Pastor Vanessa Boyler. Before we get started, I just want to share today's meditation coming from Daily Thoughts from the Hill. And the subject is, my life is faithful. Believing and understanding in the absolute power of the universe is the foundation to a life of success. My desire to achieve and improve my life and my desire to help others keeps me grounded in faith. There is nothing that can ever keep me from my greater good because my faith is established, planted in the power of the absolute. My faith is the seasoning in my life, like spices in a delicious meal. Like the animals that God used their God-given instincts and moved to higher grounds when a tsunami is approaching, I use my faith to keep myself in a higher state of consciousness. I am faithful every day and in every way. Like the rock that Peter is, I too am grounded in faith. I thank you from the Christ within me. This comes from Hebrews chapter 11 and 6. Without faith, man cannot please God, for he who comes near to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that particular meditation stood out to me, and I wanted to share it on today. The topic of today is moving from faith to fear. And the original tagline derived from, you'll never know if you never try. What is it that you are afraid to try? Here on Your Health is Your Wealth, our main platform is creating a healthy temple, learning to honor and cherish the inner man, the spiritual man, in order that it show on our outward man. But there's something more, or could be something more, other than weight loss, whether it's weight loss inclusive with better health, strength training, whether you're seeking inner confidence or potentially wealth and legacy building, or it could be all of the above. Your Health is Your Wealth is an interactive platform, and we desire to hear from you. Again, I am so incredibly excited. Our visionary, Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr., he's a man of after God's own heart. He's all over the place, and he's constantly thinking outside of the box. And through his introduction of this phenomenal woman of God, he said, I know someone that would really enjoy meeting you. And he came to me and he said, Kimberly, I met this young person that has a very similar testimony. Many of you know my weight loss journey of 160 pounds and how I learned through this process where I wanted to be physically transformed. I found that it was a spiritual transformation that was most prevalent. And long story short, he introduced me to this person, and it has been my honor and privilege and pleasure to meet Pastor Vanessa Boyler. So with that, I would like to bring her on the line. Pastor Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. God bless you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the line this afternoon. And I'm just so grateful to be able to share that which God is doing and helping me with, and the grace and the ability that he has given to me to work on challenges of the level of obesity, but also mm-hmm. understanding the greater level is that it's not just about weight, but it's about the whole inclusive package of who we are as the individual.
Yes.
So, and understanding that one of the biggest barriers that keeps us bound by many things is the fear that we're going to fail. And fear has to be something that you must conquer. As you go through this journey, you learn how to conquer certain things and work past those fears, because you find many times we do a lot of things because we're afraid. And the biggest thing is the being in the place that we might fail, we're afraid that we're going to fail. So we don't try.
Yeah.
We are defeated before we even start. And so I had to conquer that. I had to conquer the fear that if I start this, and, you know, anyone that has suffered with the battle of obesity and issues surrounding weight loss, you can try every diet in the book. You can try every diet that's in the book. You can try everything that comes out on the market. But I found that it is so much greater than diet. And it's conquering those inner demons that we have, those inner things that we struggle with for years, and really being transparent about really who we are.
Wow. Absolutely. Pastor Vanessa, today you struck a chord within me. We were speaking earlier, and you were saying that the voice of God spoke to you and told you just to move forward. And I think mm-hmm. in the weight loss, when we think of, in my case, I was dealing with extreme levels of obesity. So for me to visualize myself as this well-trimmed, statuesque individual, it was just challenging. The fear for me was the amount of work that it was going to take. And I know you today, when you were speaking, you struck a chord when you said, "Be obedient to the voice of God."
Yes, yes. And my journey. Just to give history to my journey, February the 18th, attended a 2016, I attended a bariatric surgery class, and I heard all the information that was shared in that class, and I left that session. I had so many thoughts going through my mind, but I said, if this was the key that was going to help me in regards to diabetes, then so be it. And so what happened was I went to bed that night with all that information that was weighing on my mind that I heard and the process and the various things, and woke up the next morning. And as believers, we have a voice inside of us that speaks to us, and that is the voice of God. And I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me that morning and said, "Put on some sneakers and go for a walk." And I said, "What?" "Put on sneakers and go for a walk." And what was interesting, I said, "Oh, no, that's, you know," sometimes we override the voice that we hear inside. And I'm learning that the enemy is not going to tell us to do anything good. It's whatever he says, is trouble with it. But when it comes to the things of God, the enemy is not going to instruct us to do that which is good. And so when the voice said, "Put on the sneakers and go for a walk," I wrestled with that statement. And it took me about an hour to really kind of like get myself together and even to move. But once I started walking, there was something that was in that very first walk. And I tell people, don't go by the first thing that happens when you start the process, because usually it's something that you feel, it's kind of like it's negative, and I took that whole walk and I cried the whole walk. I was like, "What is this all about? I don't believe this." I cried the whole walk, but when I finished the walk and when I got when I, you know, returned home. And I heard the voice again say, are you willing to handle the truth? And I did not respond to that voice. That's what we said, was I willing to handle the truth, because I wasn't sure what that was all about until later on that day. I said, I guess so. I said, I guess so. And from that point, the being, you know, a spirit-led person, the Spirit of the Lord really began to deal with me. And it didn't take me to the point here I was as a full-grown woman, but it took me back to my, it took me back to an infant. And it took me back to things relating to my mother and my father. Mm. And some things, you know, as being a young child, which growing up in foster care and just, you know, having a troubled childhood life, what have you, you know, there's so many things that you just don't know about yourself. And I had to go. So God had to take me on the journey to go back to where I started from to understand where I was. And mm-hmm. when he began to deal with me about my mother and my father, the scripture says in the book of Psalms, it says, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So all these years that I struggled around my identity of who I was and who I always tried to be and how I wanted to be and how, you know, all these issues. And I said, and it was in that process of every day, as I began to really begin to be obedient to what God was saying, it began that as I began to walk and go through this journey, it was like so much was being pulled off of me. So much was being just pulled out of me. So there were some days that I would walk, as I was walking, you know, God would be speaking to me, you know, he would be speaking to me, and other days he was quiet. And I guess that day he wanted me to strike up the conversation about whatever.
All right.
You know, deal with on this out, this, you know, this, however, the process of me walking. So it ended up being more than food. It ended up being more than food, even though my diet itself transformed and changed, because I started out talking about the bariatric surgery. And if anybody knows anything about the bariatric surgery, before you have that surgery, it is a requirement that you have to lose weight. And so in that process, I was going through, you know, what was being instructed of me by the doctors and, you know, what to eat, how to eat, you know, and everything. And, you know, because I wanted to make sure when I went back that I had reached the goal. But one day when I was walking, it was just like you walk in the room and you turn the light on. And I said, wait a minute. Now, if I could do this, and you know, and I was at the point then where people were saying to me, we see a difference. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't see what they were seeing. And even so, at this aspect, sometimes we don't see the process of how far we've come. That's an inner thing that will be there. But if you've been obese, though, you don't see it like other folks see it right away. So the conversation was from several people, you know, that were close to me said, I see a difference. I really see a difference. I see a difference. And even though the clothes were fitting a little looser and things were changing, I still within myself, I was still struggling. But there were other things at the same time that even as the weight was falling off, that there was so much clarity and understanding about my body that was coming clearer than it was before. And so when they called me and they said, we have an appointment scheduled for you for the surgery, which was quick. It was absolutely so quick till it was uncannily scary. It was. It really was. Because A lot of people, you know, when you go to the classes, you hear these people talking about, oh, well, I had to wait 3 months and I had to wait 6 months, you know, their journey. And but when they called me and said, we have an appointment for you, and I said, okay, and I was preparing for the appointment. And and when I went, they said to me, okay, they were still, even though I had lost, you know, a great deal of weight, they still said, well, if you really want to eradicate diabetes once and for all, the surgery is the only thing that's going to work. And and at this point, I was, you know, in the process of, you know, injections and pills, and I was, like, really tired of that process. I was really tired of the process. And they said, well, we need you to go back to your medical doctor, and we need one more form filled out by your medical doctor. And when I went to my medical doctor said to me, you still have diabetes, but you don't have to take insulin. He said, you don't have to take the insulin. And I said, I don't. He says, no. He says, what we're going to do is to start through a step down of going from the insulin to the pill. And I said, well, I really want to be off of this medicine altogether. And in the process of, like, so many days, I think I was 5 days out from the surgery. I was like 5 days out officially for the surgery. And I had to be very honest with myself. I felt very uneasy about the surgery, even though it was what I wanted. I felt uneasy. And I said, why do I feel so, you know, even though I was, you know, in my, you know, just thinking what it would be like, you know, to come, you know, to have come out of surgery and they say diabetes is gone. And, you know, and you're thinking of all the high, but not really thinking about the low part of it. And so I was led to have a conversation with somebody that had had the surgery. And they said, if you can do it without having the surgery, and look how far you've come already. Don't have it. So,
absolutely.
You know, so within that process, the, you know, and when God says no, it's no. And, you know, I'm being very transparent in the story because we often are taught to look for a shortcut, but there are no shortcuts to getting where you have to be. It's not a shortcut. You have to go straight in and just deal with everything deal with the process of it. And sometimes that's the part that we don't like, it's the process. So 5 days out from surgery, I was supposed to attend what they call the very last pre-op consultation.
Mm-hmm.
5 days out, and I was supposed to attend the consultation. And when I had gone through the process to be prepared for the consultation, and they told me when I came back that there was X amount of more pounds that you had to lose by the time you come for the consultation, and you know it was this whole new battery of medications and everything that you know. Supplements and things that you had to take in regards to that. And when I right before and I'm telling you could be right at the door of something and it was God says no, it will be right at that moment that he'll just stop it all. So I got a phone call, and the phone call came and it said that the hospital had lost the funding for the program. And so there was not going to be any surgery scheduled, even though I was on the list 5 days out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I was like, what am I going to do? And I was, you know, still getting up in the morning. I was going for my walk. I was still on my same regimen, you know, of you know, my intake of my water and you know, my diet, changed the diet and everything, I was still on that same regimen. I was still doing everything like I was still scheduled for the procedure. And then I got a call from another hospital and says, we now have the program, you can come here.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospital that called me was literally across the street from my house. And it was right across the street. It was right across the street from my house. And they said, you can come on Monday for the, you know, the class, and we'll start you in the program. And I went to, you know, once again, overriding that which I'd heard in the spirit. And I was like, okay, I'll go. And I went, same process, everything. But they were saying to me, because of the fact that I had gone and had official date scheduled for surgery, that all I had to do was to see the doctor, and then they would give me a date, and I would be set, ready to go. And
absolutely.
I'd be set, ready to go. Yes. But that wasn't still, that was not what God had intended for me. And when I went to see the doctor said to me, he says, you know, I do understand that you have diabetes, and I'm not telling you not to have the surgery, but he just began to speak to me from a very candid point of view. And I went home from that appointment, and I said, I don't believe I'm going to have the surgery. But then it was after that that other people, and, you know, I really am grateful to God for the circle that he placed in my life. And when I really began to move past my emotions, and I said, God, really let me hear what you're saying and why you're saying it. And there were key people that he allowed to, at that point, to begin to speak into my life regarding, you don't need the surgery. You really don't need it. I don't get have a good feeling about it. So you don't need it. You're doing fine. And so I didn't have it. I did not have the surgery. And I just began to continue. And I said, God, if I'm not supposed to have the surgery, and it is your purpose and it is your design for me to do this, then you're going to have to help me every step of the way. And I'm telling you, literally, when I fully turned everything about this to him, is when the biggest pieces and the I saw the most victory. I saw the most victory that it ended up being. And then even in the process, God said, you know, he gave me the instructions to take the journey that I was on Facebook Live. And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, absolutely not, because, you know, I said, if I fail at this, everybody's going to know that I failed. And, you know, I said, oh, no, I can't do that. But, you know, the Spirit kept impressing me, take this journey live. And so I would get on, I would go, you know, I start my walk, and there would always, you know, God would give me an encouraging statement to share a thought, you know, and then it ended up being a prayer walk, because it was like so many people had begun to reach out and say that this is the area where I struggle, and this is the area where, you know, I'm really having a battle, or I fell. And I had, you know, and so in that, there was a network that, you know, that was created. And I called it the No More Excuses Movement, because many times we make excuses about where we are because we have a fear about where we're going. And
exactly.
So that whole movement where every day it's a, you know, a page where people can go on and find inspiration, and they can find, anything related to mental health, you know, the whole gambit. Because when I really began to look at it, it was more than the 75 pounds that I was able to lose at that time. And it was more than that. It was more than the 75 pounds. But also, mm-hmm. not only was my body being transformed, but my mind was being transformed. And not
That's
only
it.
My mind was being transformed, but my spirit man was being transformed. And everything about me, my emotionally, physically, spiritually, every level. And I said, this is a holistic approach to that which we've said is impossible. And, you know, and it's not impossible. It just has to be that the mindset, and then, you know, begin to build around the willingness to do the work. And no shortcuts, and no back and forth or whatever, but just really being clear about where you are and what it is that, you know, the Bible speaks that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm
mm-hmm.
saying, as God's people, if our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, then why
mm-hmm.
we do not have the temperance over certain areas? If our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then why
That's
are we not
it.
Able to capture the same Spirit that gives us the unctioning and revelation and gives us divine flows of the Spirit, but yet it can't help in this area? And I'm saying,
Whoa.
now you're saying that we serve a one-sided God, and he's not, because he says in his word that he came to set the captives free. Well, if I'm in this space and my body is responding because I'm captive to medications and I'm captive to, you know, all the, you know, the in the process of what it is, you know, I went through blindness. I went, you know, the process of being blind, literally being blind, and had to go for surgery for these things to change. And I said, oh no, and I kept saying, I'm too young for all of these things to be happening to me. But I had to learn in the process that God was trying to show me some things that,
mm-hmm.
you know, he had to show me some things. And so my eyes were blind in the natural, but what he was trying to do was open up my spirit to see at a whole nother level.
Yes.
He was trying to open up my eyes to see at a whole nother level. And I'm telling you, when I came out of those two surgeries, I saw differently, naturally, but spiritually. I saw at a totally different level, because it was my spirit was just at a different pinnacle. And God desires to do that in all of us. He desires to do it in all of us. And we have been given, you know, the precious promises of God, and they dwell
mm-hmm.
within us. And he desires to get that out of us. But what is the thing or the things that hold us captive that we're not able to maximize the full package? And he desires us as his people to maximize the full package. And
Whoa.
So the maximizing the full package encompasses the whole man. It's the whole man.
Wow.
And
the whole
man. And when we begin to, deal with it from that approach, everything about us is going to be healed. And even, you know, now, you know, still under the doctor's care, but every time that I go back to the doctor's amazed. The doctor is utterly amazed and says,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that you're doing, keep doing it. And,
That's right.
You know, whatever that you're doing, just keep doing it. And that's what I'm doing. I say that I'm going to walk my way to total 100% healing. I'm going to walk in my healing. I'm going to walk in it. And what happens is as you do it, there is a whole community. There's a whole community that is built around that, what it is that you're doing, because you find that you're not the only one. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. You know, I say that in our church, you know, this is the biggest elephant that shows up every week, but nobody deals with it. Nobody deals with it from a holistic health perspective. You know, they just say, you know, go on a diet. But, you know, just like I said, and I'm quite sure, you know, you as well, we've been on many diets. And when the diet was over, you know, somehow we just gravitated back to the same thing. So it's not about diet, but it's about the healing and the restoration of the whole encompassed package. That's what it's about.
Wow. Absolutely. You know, Pastor Vanessa, you have seldom am I speechless, but you have literally given my full and complete testimony from the pre-consultation for the bariatric surgery to not wanting to listen to the voice of God, second questioning, guessing myself. You said something when you touched on earlier, you were stating that these are things that we didn't just learn during the process of obesity. It's an onset or an instillment from childhood. How do you keep a child happy? How do you keep a child quiet? You feed them. And that was one of my biggest issues. I learned to celebrate with food, to medicate with food, you know, and as a result, I developed some very, very, very unhealthy behaviors. But your testimony is just life impacting. You stated, which I am so in complete agreement, that the victory and the transformation is not just of the body, but it is of the mind and the spirit man. And how do you transition from fear to faith? It is it's a process, but I have found that once you confirm or affirm within yourself that one walk you took, you said you cried through the entire walk, but I promise you, I can just visualize that being the most refreshing cry that you could possibly have, because God wanted you to reach a point of commitment. He wanted you to reach a place of willingness, a place where you desire to do that. I was sharing with Dr. Dunlap recently that I love to breathe, and people think that is crazy. When I'm talking to mentees, I call them, but when I'm speaking to people about where do I start, go into a quiet place and just learn how to breathe. We don't breathe. You know, this is something that is freely given to us. God has given us the breath of life, and we breathe just to exist. How often do we fully pull air and oxygen into our core, into our chest cavity? How often do we practice the science and the art and the blessing of meditation? And you covered absolutely everything. And I'm going to use that tagline, God came to set the captives free to maximize our full package.
Yes.
It is so much more than just losing weight. I feel better. I live better. Everything around me is better. I went out to dinner recently with a friend, and I said, I'm going to have a dessert. And they said, nope, you already had dessert. And I had to think back and say, you know what? I did. That's that old consciousness where literally that's that old consciousness where you say, I deserve to do this, and not even considering that I've already had enough sugar in my body for the day. So surrounding yourself with accountability partners, people who truly have your best interest at heart and who are not going to allow you to slip back into old behavior.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love it. And you can walk your way into a higher level of consciousness.
Yes, you can.
So much more than losing weight. I think that's why, for me, the diets didn't work, because if I spend two straight weeks in the gym, on that 17th day, I want to see some resemblance of Beyonce. And when Beyonce don't show up, I'm mad. And I stop. Because the working out alone is not fun. It's the fun part is that I am receiving so much more spiritual empowerment that I feel so good inside. And at 50 years old, I jump rope, I play kickball, I climb Stone Mountain. You know, I haven't swam in a while, but those are the things that bring me the most joy. So,
yes.
Pastor Vanessa, that was just absolutely awesome. When you said that you started a movement, your No More Excuses movement, do you find active participants?
Yes, there are those that, you know, they'll reach out and say, I need a walking partner. What time are you available to walk? And or I need help in regards to my diet. Or I just need some encouragement or something. So yes, it is you know it's an active group of people. And there are times that sometimes we just get together just to chat with one another and share where we are. And one of the things that I'm looking forward to doing in 2018 is to have a official walk, a No More Excuses walk.
To
make it more public, more public and open that people know that we are, you know, we exist more than a page on Facebook and you know, just, you know, have conversation back and forth, but to actually physically have a walk and to cause people awareness that, you know, the way that God desires to do it. Also, incorporating workshops and different venues for, you know, people to be able to come and to find safe places. that's key, safe places in regard around this, because there, you know, one of the things with obesity is there's so much negativity. There's so much negativity that has the stigma that has been placed, you know, from society. And if you don't do it this way, then you're doing it the wrong way. But you have to do it the way that you feel comfortable for yourself. And everybody's journey is different.
That is a phenomenal idea, Pastor Vanessa. And Atlanta pledges to sponsor. We would love to have you here, but we pledge to sponsor a No More Excuses walk under your flag as well. So absolutely. You do New Jersey, and we will do Atlanta. You just let us set up a date, and we will do a No More Excuses walk here in Atlanta. But we have a caller that would like to share, coming with the last 4-3-2-6. Caller, are you there?
Good afternoon, ladies. Good afternoon. This is Dr.
Good
Dunlap.
Good afternoon. I know that voice. Good afternoon, Dr. Dunlap.
Oh, my God. I did a Facebook Live this morning, and it turned into 2 hours, and then I just finished eating, so I am so tired right now, but I've been sitting here listening. That's why I didn't chime in earlier. And Pastor Vanessa, let me tell you and Kim, when I pressed one, what came to my spirit was we either come into Jersey or we're going to do something down here. And then to hear Kim to say what you said. And so here's what I'm going to do. I heard you talking about accountability, Kim. So Pastor Vanessa, listen to this. When you talk to Kim in a couple of weeks, because we're having a team meeting next week. And I'm asking everybody on the team to bring a 5-minute whatever about what we're going to do in 2018 so that we can get everything scheduled on our calendar. So if Kim doesn't bring this to the meeting next week and you talk to her in about 2 weeks, then we're going to have a problem.
Yes, there are no problems.
We're going to have a problem because this is too important of a ministry not to do something. You know, I'm a practical person. You know, I believe so many people try to be so spiritual, but you got to get out and do the practical. James said, faith without works is dead. So, you know, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so you've done it. I'm glad that we've connected and I was able to connect you with Kim, and we need to take everything that God is allowing us to do, every single platform that we have, and just make sure God gets the glory. So I'm excited already just knowing that before I was able to speak out of my mouth, this to you, and mm-hmm. we're going to do something. We just need to get a date, and Kim knows I'm all about doing stuff and being very proactive, and we're just going to do it. We're just going to do it. That's one of the things that we just have to do. And I have another person that is in North Carolina near Charlotte that we'll try to partner up with as well. And she has a movement that she's been involved in for several years. And God tells, the Bible tells us all things works together. And, you know, there's mm-hmm. more to it. But this working together is the piece that is so missing in the body of Christ. And so you said also about workshops. I was already there. My head was already there because with this show, Your Health is Your Wealth, we know that when people are not healthy and or people don't take care of themselves, it affects their wealth. I was just with an individual last week when I was down in Miami, and this individual had to file bankruptcy 2 times over a 12-year period. And it was only because he had cancer, and then cancer came back again. And the second time, it was $80,000 to $90,000 in medical bills that he had just from a couple of months of treatment, and that will wreck anybody. And so for things that can be prevented, things that we have an opportunity to do, it only makes sense that there's no need to crying out to God about your wealth status if you don't get out there and do things to make sure that your health is in the best place that it can be. God forbid something comes up like it did with that individual. At least it's not God saying, well, you're the one that caused this because this is what you've been doing, and bringing that back to anybody's remembrance. So keep doing what you're doing, and let us just continue to connect. And I'm not going to steal you from Kim, but we're going to get you on the PRF table after Kim uses you as long as she wants to use you. So we can have some of those individuals on that nighttime show. And every January, I don't know how we're going to do this, Kim, but, you know, every January we usually have something like Your Health is Your Wealth. We deal with fitness and health. But since we got Kim on, we may just let Kim have the whole month, and I'll take off for the month of January, and we hit it doubly effective on Thursday and on Friday. So we just got to do it. That's all.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dunlap. I am excited. I can feel my cheeks moving. I'm thinking about this walk. We generally walk in Stone Mountain Park. It's a 5.8 mile circumference, and it's 1.25 miles to the top. So we can have 2 legs. Maybe one leg will go up, one leg will go around. But I think that is a phenomenal way to start off the new year, with a health walk, and possibly do it quarterly.
Yes.
Get as many people committed to a date, and we can do it quarterly. And during your visits to Atlanta, we would love to sponsor a walk in your honor.
Yes. Thank you. We will further discuss that.
Absolutely. That is so much, so much. You know, today's segment is about from fear to faith. And Dr. Dunlap spoke on, James said, faith without fear is dead. And where do you start? How do you start? Whether you're trying to lose weight, build health and strength, or just capture that inner confidence. We speak about wealth and legacy building quite often on the show, and there's a fear. And I think, Pastor Vanessa, you touched on that when there's this silent voice that's constantly telling you you can't do it. I have a book by Julia Cameron, and it's called Capturing the Creative Artistry Within. And it's a really, really, really good book. And I'm reading and reading, and it's a page-turner. I can't put it down. So I get to this side, this tagline along the side of the page, and it says that every blade of grass, if you can imagine, every blade of grass in the entire world God is gently whispering to that blade of grass that says, grow, baby, grow. When I read that, I just burst into tears, because that is the truth. God loves everything and everybody, and he's constantly whispering into you, grow, baby, grow. And quite often we refuse to acknowledge that that's the voice of God. We stay in the familiarity. Dr. Dunlap can tell you this gentleman's name, but we went to a conference recently, and Minister Jerry said, why are we so comfortable staying in uncomfortable positions?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be your health, your weight, your finances, relationships, your employment, we become way too comfortable and complacent in uncomfortable positions. So I always use that tagline that I read, grow, baby, grow, as the voice of God that is constantly feeding into me, telling me to just try. Don't care about, I think it was today I spoke with Dr. Dunlap, and he was telling me about the Facebook Live, and it takes a lot of courage to get on there because people, they judge you. And like you said, Pastor Vanessa, you don't want people necessarily to follow your journey, so if you fail, they won't have evidence of it. And yeah, we all feel that way, and it's audacity. You have to have the audacity to believe what God says and not what man says. We get so comfortable in the norm. We get so comfortable with living at our ordinary existence. We pray, we meditate, we stay to ourselves. But it takes audacity to stand up publicly and tell someone, this is my belief system, and I'm not deviating from this plan. And I think I had a great deal of I think God kind of came in on the side door, because I was at such a large size that when I started losing weight, I became a walking billboard. People were like, what are you doing? It is obviously working for you. And my confidence derived there. But how does somebody step out on faith and do the things that God-inspired vision when they don't necessarily have the proof to back them up? Does that make sense? Well, just moving.
Yes, it does. And you know, we speak about fear, and it's that false evidence appearing real. And one of the things that, you know, I had to conquer was I had to go back, you know, and I see why God took me back to the very beginning, the very initial, the very beginning of life. And, you know, there had to be a break off, an understanding, whatever that was in the DNA of my mother and whatever that was in the DNA of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a different DNA. I have a different DNA now, because now I belong to, you know, I belong to the family of God. And he says that we are a royal priesthood and we are a holy nation. And when you understand royalty, royalty is just royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Royalty just is. And so you have to learn how to just be. And so you have to learn how to just be and not be who everybody wants you to be, but be who God has designed you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to adapt and had to accept that, you know, everybody loves to carry, you know, a Louis Vuitton, you know, or Michael Kors or whatever, and they feel this prestigious nature that comes over them because they carry this label, okay? So what is the label that you now are carrying? What is the label that you're now carrying? And so I had to be stripped of all that other stuff, you know, the stuff. I had to be stripped from the stuff and the identity of who I thought that I was, this premise of who I made myself be because, you know, all those other areas where I was unhappy and I was unsettled within myself. I had to strip all of that off and I had to just be. And I had to just be. And I said, okay, if I'm just going to be, then God, you have to teach me who I am supposed to be. You got to teach me. And every day it was a teaching of him showing me who it is that he desired for me to be. And I still ask him every day, okay, God, today, who is it that you want me to be? Because within ourselves, he has made each one of us be his designer original. Each one of us is his designed original. That, you know, you can have brothers and sisters and you can have, you know, many siblings, cousins, you know, everybody's in, you know, the whole family sphere, but you're still you. And you have that, those components and things inside of you that make you be you. And so you have to be very proud about being you. And, you know, and be proud about who you are because there was no mistake in God when he made you. He knew everything about me. When my parents came together to make me, he knew then who I was going to be. So he knew me in the state before, but he knew me in the state that I now am in. He knew me in both places. He knew me in both places, but he said, but I put some good stuff inside of you that guess what? All the perpetrating, all the fraud, all the whatever that I was before, I don't have to walk in that, but now I could be really now my true authentic self. I could be really who I really was supposed to be before, but I was scared and, you know, afraid and couldn't let that out, you know, because of what people might say. So, so I had many masks, you know, I had many masks that I wore, but now, you know, I don't wear masks now. This is really me. This is me. This is really who I am. This is really who I am, and this is really who I always, you know, inside, who I felt that I couldn't be. This is really who I am, and so it's okay because what he's transforming and making me be, I love it.
Love it. It's a beautiful process.
I love it.
One of the greatest processes ever. I tell people that all the time, coming from a single woman's perspective, you wait, and you wait on your Boaz, and oftentimes you'll feel like I'm all alone, and what about me, Lord? But something has transpired in my spirit where I am ecstatic, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God designed me for a day such as this. And I am uniquely crafted and wonderfully made, and nothing is missing. Nothing is missing. And that has been one of the greatest accomplishments through my spiritual walk is learning how to fall in love with yourself.
Yes.
Wow. That is powerful. I can identify. Dr. Dunlap knows my testimony, but I was the credit card queen. I could go with my credit cards and buy anything and all the purses and shoes and coats and jewelry, and everybody thought that I was wealthy, financially set, but I was credit card rich and finances poor, and I was living this facade. You know, it was such a facade that I had fooled myself. I didn't even recognize how much of a facade it was, Pastor Vanessa, until the bills became overwhelming. Where I was paying one credit card bill with another credit card.
Yes.
And then I began to put all my finances out on paper and start journaling my actions and behaviors. And I said, I am credit card rich, finances poor, and I don't even remember what I spent the money on.
Right.
Trying to keep up not necessarily trying to keep up with the Joneses, but just trying to keep up with me. You know, this process has taught me the beauty of introducing, reintroducing myself to myself. I can so identify I am of royalty. You know, my lineage is flawless, and I am so ecstatic. And that's the love and the enthusiasm that this particular platform, PRF Ministries, and this PRF Ministry and Your Health is Your Wealth, we are trying to empower and elevate the consciousness for us to live better by doing better. And you reach that point by changing your mindset. You have truly been a gift to our ministry on today.
Pastor
Vanessa,
thank you.
You have been adopted into the family.
Thank you.
I want to thank our visionary, Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr., for always, always thinking outside of the box and constantly blessing us with, constantly blessing us with amazing opportunities and amazing kinship. Here at the PRF family and Your Health is Your Wealth, we consider ourselves family, and we each one teach one. So you have certainly been a teacher on today.
Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely, and we will definitely keep up with you. We had a question, and then the caller logged out. I apologize. That we didn't get a chance to speak with other people. Our show is coming close to a close, but before we log off, I just wanted to remind everyone that our PRF Institute, they meet every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's at blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. That's possessions, resources, and finances, blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, or you can dial in at 347-215-7934. And again, we just want to thank you so very much for coming on the line today, and everybody make it an absolutely amazing, amazing week. And until we meet again, we love you, be blessed, and continued abundant prosperity. Thank you so very much.